Thank you, Zeke. You know, thanks for being here. There's a definite path with specific steps towards living the life you really want to live. The path is sometimes difficult to find. It's hard to follow, but once you get on it, once you start walking it regularly in your life, you'll begin to change drastically, and the things around you will begin to change. When you begin to follow clear vision and accomplish smart goals, you'll be on your way to living the dream you really want to live, being the person you really want to be. Tonight, we're going to discover the tiny pieces of the puzzle, the really small steps that make smart goals happen. I didn't know Zeke was going to use that analogy, but I'm going to use some different ones tonight about habits, but that was really good and clear, and I like that habits help beat the resistance. And habits are those little things that never seem to matter, but when stacked together, they build lives and make dreams come true. And we want to remember tonight that the dreams you want to come true are your dreams, not the dreams of somebody else, not the dreams of your parents, not the dreams of your peer group, not the dreams of the Joneses next door. It's your dreams, your goals, your vision for your life. Habits aren't inspiring, but they're the building blocks of doing inspiring things. They're not attractive like dreams or visions. They're not usually celebrated like goals. Habits aren't inspiring, but they're the building blocks of doing inspiring things. They're not attractive like dreams or visions. They're usually not celebrated like goals, but they're crucial in order for you to reach your goals and pursue your vision. If you can turn to page 34, we're going to start there in your workbook. So we're going to talk habits, and then we'll do a little bit of vision at the end. But on page 34, it's the $5 million habit. Habits are to vision what pennies are to dollars. Add them up and they become extremely large. Most of us prefer, hope, and wish for, and pray for just enough, more of the same, not too bad, or we want to win the lotto. Yeah. We don't think the in-between of the hard work it takes, the little things that we do. In fact, did anybody notice the pennies outside walking in this morning, this evening? Did you pick them up?
I did.
Yes! Picked them up? You didn't pick them up?
I saw her picking up, and I beat her to some of them.
Okay. I put those pennies out there just to see if anybody would notice them, if anybody would care for them. Pennies are those things we don't typically care about. We'll flip a coin into a thing of water and make a wish. We won't think about it. We'll give kids coins. We'll give them even sometimes nickels and dimes. So if you aim at, I just want to win really, really big, but you don't aim at the pennies, you're going to miss something really important, because you accumulate pennies throughout your day that are given to you, that you have control over. You accumulate those and save those and build those in the right direction. Something really unique and good will happen to you. I want to explain this chart a little bit that's on this $1 million habit chart. I don't think I have it up there. But the $1 million habit is this idea that if you were offered $100 a day, it's page 34, if you're offered $100 a day for 30 days, would you rather take $100 a day, or would you rather start with a penny and have that penny doubled each and every day following it? And even looking at the math on here, it seems impossible, doesn't it? Because at $100 a day on day 15, halfway through, you've only made $163.84 on day 15. And if you combine all that, it's not even close to the $1,500 you would have got if you asked for $100 every day. You see that? But when you go over to day 16, 17, 18, 19, it begins to get interesting. So on each day after day 15, from 18 to 19, on day 19, you'll start getting more on that day than you would get all the days before at $100 a day. On day 20, it would be $5,000, all the way up to over $5 million on day 30, just in doubling a penny. Yet, we squander our habits all the time. We squander the little things that can amount to so much, and we aim for $100 a day. But think about that, those small things. So two-thirds of the way through this 30-day period, you're still losing if you've chosen the habits, if you've chosen the penny. But if you've chosen the big step, $100 a day, it looks like you're winning. Habits will win every time. I put on the top there, the turtle beats the rabbit over time every time. The turtle beats the rabbit over time every time. There are some times we need to sprint. There are some times we need to hustle. There are some big things that happen. I heard one time at a conference that we work in processes and we wait for moments, but we can't make moments happen. We talked about how Ideal Concepts, the bookkeeping and tax preparation company that Zeke and Kreisha have, that's a Dave Ramsey endorsed local provider now. That was a series of I hope, I wish, and Zeke sent an email out last year. We talked about it and had some email about wouldn't that be great? That would be really a referral funnel to us where people from all over Houston would go to that page and it would fall out that they would call us and we'd get their information and call them. And we said, that's a big dream. That's what we should aim for. We should be the company that we could be Dave Ramsey's ELP. Well, then I went ahead and emailed him about a month later just because I was there and I thought I'll do it. I'm thinking about it. So he actually connected with both of us, not knowing it was the same company, asking us if we were interested. And that's how we became the endorsed local provider for Dave Ramsey. And it was just out of small habits, small hopes, doing the right thing. Zeke had built had a web page built, had some processes in place. We had some things going that when they looked at us, we looked really good. We looked bigger than 2.5 people or 2 1/10 person. Now we're 3 1/10 person, and we're going to be 4 1/10 person come January or February. So it's small things are really, really important to you. I hope you realize that. And if you'll flip the page over to page 35, there's this idea that good habits make everything better. And I put an addendum up there. You don't have to write it down. Not habits for the sake of good habits, for showing off or coming out of your own ability for self-control. I mean habits connected to your personal SMART goals, which are connected to your deeply desired vision, connected to your heart. Do you know anybody who's really, really habit-driven, yet they're miserable? Mm-hmm. When we first got married, we had a friend that could do nothing on Thursday night, because why? Laundry night. We have a friend who eats perfectly, works out, super careful with everything he has, and he's miserable. He's hard to be around. He's hard to engage anywhere because he has to be controlled in everything. And it comes out of his self-control not to have a vision of his life looking like something, but just because it means he can control his space, his stuff, his body. And that's not a good, healthy thing. So good habits make everything better. You get better dental health when you have good habits, better vision. Did you know that with good habits, you get better insurance rates on your car? Did you know when you repair your car regularly and have good habits with your car runs better, less costly repairs, less likelihood of disease? Did you know your friendships are better when you have good friendship habits, good relationship habits? Your job is better. You're better as a person. You could be bad and have good habits and get better. You could be good and have good habits and get better. You could be great and have good habits and it would be better. Good habits make everything better. Good habits, you'll have more money. Good habits, you'll have more time. Good habits, better mental health, better emotional health, better spiritual health. It's an amazing thing. Good habits produce a lot in our life. So any questions up to this point? Everybody following? I want to stop and thank. You know, I forgot that we had a couple from Scotland here last week. They Facebooked me and Zeke tonight. They said they're going to listen to number one. They're here for number two. They'll listen to number three. And then Jim Sim was here the first night, and Saudi had just had a root canal, but they're now in Panama City, Panama. They're listening along when this comes on. And then we have a couple in Montgomery, Texas listening in. Not right now live, but they will. And we have a friend that's on vacation in Hawaii that is going to work through the workbook in these three sessions, the first two while he's in there. Turn to page 18. We're going to go back. Page 18, it should have two circles and the phrase, how to draw an owl. How to draw an owl. Now, vision is taking this white piece of paper. The white piece of paper is a dream. Vision does what? It clarifies the dream, right? So it clarifies the dream. So vision are these two circles. So I have a white piece of paper. I have all this space, this time, this money, this talent, this amazing, unique personality that is me. And I have this time every Saturday, every Sunday, every evening, if I work, or even if I don't, I have a lot of time. And I draw two circles, and I decide what I'm going to do with that time. And the two circles begin to confine that time that I'm going to make this. Now, if I didn't have an owl here, what would you make out of those two circles if you knew it wasn't going to be an owl?
A snowman.
A snowman. That's the obvious thing, not an owl, right?
I was going to say a subset.
A what? A subset. Okay. What about a solar eclipse? What about two rocks? Just two big boulders. So you get to decide what your paper looks like, okay? So we have dream and we have vision. And if you'll turn over to page 40, which is already up on the front there. On page 40, you'll see what SMART goals and what we call sticky habits will turn your two circles into. So SMART goals, if you're looking at those two circles, these two circles right up here on the first part, and you say, I want to draw an owl, that's my vision, I want to draw an owl, what would be some of your first goals? Learn how to draw. Just assume you already know how to draw. What would be, it's just, maybe that'll be a goal to get to your goal, but when you look at those two circles, what do you need?
Pencil.
I need a pencil.
Sharpener.
Yeah.
An eraser. What about I need a... I was thinking more... Those are good answers. I was thinking more I would need some ears and some legs and some... I need to fill this out. I need some feathering. I need to know what color it is. I need to know about... So I need to know something. So that's what goals and habits begin to do for us. They define what we have. So we've talked the first week we were here, we talked about dreams, that we have to pull dreams together and clarify dream. We have to clarify dream, and then SMART goals begin to build steps. You can look at it as a step going up, as a staircase, a ladder, or I prefer stepping stones across something that's the gap that we talked about last week, that there's a gap here between us and where we want to go. But you've got to look at goals as these will get me here. So a goal is a first step towards what I want to be, how I want to change, how I want to live my life. It's not the vision. I want to be a better dad. My first goal is 3 hours every Saturday. I'm going to play with Victoria. You're putting hard goals to soft vision. So this is what you get. This is your end result. But to get from the two circles to an owl or a snowman or a mathematical thing, To get to that, you have to take some steps. It could be buying supplies. It could be learning how to draw. It could be remembering. It could be getting a snapshot of an owl to remember what you want your life to look like. Because we often forget, many of you will leave here tonight, and you'll go away and you'll have some things that you want to do. Some money you want to earn, some money you want to save, places you want to go, some things you want to be, and you'll quickly forget. Life gets busy. We forget what's in our heart because life is so loud and so busy, we often forget. But if you can get a picture of what you want, it's okay to say, I like that person, I'm going to follow him. I'm going to look like them in this area. But it's okay to say, I want to be happy and joyful like this person. I want to be engaged with people like this person. I've done that with my own friends. I like how he interacts with people when he shows up. He does this fearlessly. I want some of that. And it's within my personality of who I am and how I am. So I'm not trying to be something I'm not. Maybe just flip over to page 41. And we're just going to talk about some habits. Because I want you to, as I'm talking, for the rest of the night, we're going to talk about habits. We'll get into maybe a little bit of vision. You'll write down some goals. You hopefully have clarified some more goals. But as you're thinking habits, I want you to think, how do I write habits to meet the goals that I want to meet for this upcoming year? What habits do I need to have in order to make this goal possible? And some of you may be thinking, I don't have any good habits. I don't have any habits. Like vision, everyone has vision. Everyone has habits. Your habits can be to eat really, really well or really, really bad, both habits. We have habits of thinking. We have habits of feeling. We fall into pathways of thinking and of feeling, usually when there's stress involved, usually when there's fear involved that triggers things. We develop and have developed since childhood multiple layers of habits to protect ourselves from disappointment, pain, and failure. So in order to reach a goal that'll take us to a vision, it's difficult because we're thinking, I've tried this before. Yeah. I've tried to lose weight before. I tried to start something before. I tried to be nicer before. I tried to be stronger before. All of those things. And so you have to make a decision, not in the impossible goal, but you can start a new habit, a one thing habit. You can start some small habits. But again, their habits have got to be connected to goals and to vision. They've got to be. Otherwise, you're just creating ruts. So I want to express to you what a habits look like without any goal in mind. Okay? This is what habits look like with no goal or vision in mind. It looks like you're tied to a stake. You say your left ankle is tied to a stake, and you keep pursuing, you keep doing your habit, and you go in circle, 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 circle. You create a path that's comfortable for you. You maybe get a little bit more rope, but you fall back into that circle. That's why so many people, we experience the same thing over and over and over again. You might have more rope attached to that stake centered in the ground, so your rope might be, you might experience that failure in your life later on, or you might experience that same fear, but it's a little bit distance. But you keep going circle and circle and circle. And so instead of being attached to a habit that just protects us, we want to be attached to the habit that's out in front of us, that propels us to go forward, to run forward, to keep going towards that thing. John Maxwell has a phrase in a book called Failing Forward. He goes, if you fail towards something that you love, then when you get up, you're at least a step forward just in falling forward, just in failing forward. Better to fail towards something that you want to be, something you want to do, something you want to have, than to stay in a rut and repeatedly fail, but be comfortable with your failure. And so this idea of untying yourself from emotional, physical, and belief habits is difficult. But if you just sit there and work on it and work on it and work on it, you can become real a navel gazer, real introspective, and really like dislike yourself somewhat and think there's no hope. But if you can get up your eyes and look at a vision and go, that's who I want to be. I want my life to look like that owl, and I'm going to go after that. I can do that, I think. And then you set some goals backwards. It's a pretty cool thing. You've got to have these new habits aimed at goals and vision, and they will take you to new territory. I thought about it on a journey. In leaving your rut, you're going to experience uncomfortable things, see new things. You're going to have to learn how to adapt. In your rut, you're used to the territory. If you leave your rut, you're going to have to travel over deserts and mountains and uneven or possibly unpaved roads or no roads at all. That's okay. It's a lot better than a journey that just keeps taking you in circles and in circles and in circles. So what habits do you need to begin to walk in so you can accomplish your SMART goals? So that's what you're asking yourself tonight in your goals. You know, you would think that people, you know, I thought about this rock. This rock, habits wear down even the largest of the obstacles. Can you break that boulder with one swing of a sledgehammer? You probably can't. That's what your vision looks like. You can't make that gravel with one swing. Okay? So often we see that and we go, oh, that's too big. I now see what I want, but it's just too much. I now see myself healthy, wealthy, and wiser, kinder, a better parent, a better husband, a better wife, a better person. Hey, I can't do it. I failed 3 times already this week. So we walk away and we leave the boulder alone. Or the boulder is what's in our path. It could be either way. What we forget is habits hit at that boulder every single day, repeatedly. Day after day, week after week, month after month. Hit it long enough, consistently, in the right spots, and it may just crack up on its own. Keep hitting at it and you chip it away, and it's going to eventually fall apart. Habits put power back into your hands. Habits make you no longer a victim to your life because it's giving you direction. But also, habits build muscle. Habits build memory muscle. Victoria's in her second year, finishing up her second year of piano. And it's amazing to me what she can play. It's shocking what an 8-year-old can play. And within a little bit, I couldn't help her at all. Not that I could help her anyways. But she has muscle memory now, how she sits, how she plays. She can work through a song. Zeke and I were up in my office at the house, and I was like, did you hear that? Because about 15 times in a row, she was trying one piece of her song, getting her fingers to memorize that part of the song so that she can pass it when she goes to her teacher. So it's the same thing with our habits. It helps us. It helps us have wins. They're powerful. So even if you bang on this rock for a year, for 2 years, think about how massive you would be. Think about how much stronger you would be. Think about how much thinner you would be. Think about how tan you would be. Think about how much of an expert you would be at swinging a sledgehammer. Think about that. So even with that rock not moving, even with that rock only being whittled away a little bit each day, you begin to change. Our habits begin to change us. And our vision, even as our vision changes, our habits begin to change us. The seed has a habit of just doing a little tiny bit every day. So insignificant, you can't even see it, can you? It's like one day it's like not there and it's just popped out of the ground a little bit. So slow does it move, so slow does it act, that we rarely notice it day-to-day producing something that smells wonderful, looks beautiful, and tastes awesome. Think about that. That's our life. That's our habits. That's what our habits does. It produces something. And the smallest amount of discipline applied to the right habits will, over time, create big changes. Think about the smooth rock at the bottom of a river. There's a river here. If you've ever gone to a river, but there's always rocks that are up there that you can see. There's always some big boulders, but there's always a lot of smooth rocks, huh? Just think, most likely, those smooth rocks were about that size. Think about what it took to build the Grand Canyon. Small, consistent application of water over time. We have a Trinity River. The banks are always shifting just because water keeps flowing. The Mississippi River, banks always change, things fall in. It keeps shifting because of the power of habit. If you create new habits, it'll energize your goals. It'll transform you, and you'll get there a lot quicker. And you'll be surprised where you wind up. You know, you would think that after having a tragic event in your life that you would change your life and your habits. But did you know that most people, after they get a divorce, they don't change anything about themselves? They might change their hair. They might diet for a little bit. They might be a little bit nicer. They go back to being the same person typically. After having a heart attack, only 1 in 7 people even attempt any sort of lifestyle change, and most of them don't make it. 1 out of 7 only attempt. Even though they're all told, they're all given lessons in diet and exercise and habits to prevent another heart attack, almost nobody changes their habits. What changes habits? Vision. Vision will change your habits. You change them by choice. You don't change them by tragedy. You know, I was thinking, so what if you don't fulfill your vision? What if you just don't fulfill your vision? It's okay, because if you don't fulfill your vision will fulfill you. Because in pursuit of something that your heart's attached to, you're going to get somewhere in pursuing that vision of who you want to be. And it might morph and change a little bit. Your vision might have been something that's not set towards your design, like we talked about last week. But if you don't fulfill your vision will fulfill you. It will be something change. There'll be some change in you. I'm going to talk about 5 habits that everyone should have. And I know that sounds kind of like, well, really, everyone should have it. But these are 5 habits that if you'll pick 1 or 2 of these habits, it'll help you change all your other habits, okay? So if you'll do these 5 habits or a combination, find out what is good for you. Now, we've already talked some about this. You've already done this. You've already written out your vision and your goals. Now what I'm asking you to do is to replay that vision and those goals. So what would happen if you went to bed at night and you thought, I'm going to be a kind person. I don't want to be nice in a doormat, but I want to be kind. I want to be actively kind where people recognize me as a kind, generous person. If you went to bed every night and you thought about that, and you replay that in your head of tomorrow I'm going to meet with so-and-so, and then I'm going to have this meeting, and then I'm going to come home and I'm going to be with my neighbors with this, I want to be kind to them tomorrow. And you envisioned, you saw yourself, where you played yourself being kind. Instead of circling around that habit, that stake in the ground that says, oh no, I meet with somebody. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I hope they like me. I hope they like me. I hope I do a good job. I hope I get the job. You're thinking vision, not I hope right in that moment, but you're thinking vision and you're envisioning yourself. Because what it does when you actively envision your goals and when you actually envision your vision, what you see it and you replay it out there, your brain actually goes to work. Mm-hmm. Your brain starts helping you and you lay down to sleep. Your brain, instead of going to bed on it, that circular, cyclical thing of, oh, I've got an impossible thing to do tomorrow, I've got all this stuff, you're basing it on, I have a vision for tomorrow, for how this meeting's going to go, what I'm going to do. So if you'll focus on your goals and your vision before you go to bed at night, your brain will do some work. It's an amazing thing. Second one is to create rituals. So what if your first ritual you created... Maybe you don't go to bed well. Maybe you go to bed loud and noisy and you flip off the TV. You just turn it off and then you go to bed and your brain's all... You haven't even thought about your day. You haven't even thought about your tomorrow. What if your first ritual is what we just talked about? You pulled out your goals and you looked at your goals of what you want in your life. You look at your vision. You remind yourself. Now, you already engage religiously in rituals.
Yeah.
Every one of you. If you won't rush out of the house without makeup or go to church in the morning without makeup, you have a ritual. You know, if guests are coming over and you clean up the downstairs, that's a ritual. If guests are coming over and you just leave it as is, that's a ritual. That's a habit. So you already are engaged in rituals that aren't defined and on purpose. What I'm asking you to do is to do it on purpose. So you're already replaying some things in your head. You're already cycling and replaying and acting out things in your head. What if you did it on the right things, on the things you want your life to look like, and then the rituals? Now, you either wake up immediately or you let it snooze for 10 times and you rush to work. You both are rituals. Everybody here has a ritual. How you spend your money, how you spend your paycheck, you do it ritually. You do it habitually. But if you can create some rituals that you can do that will help you with your habits, that'll change everything. You use a budget or you don't use a budget. Both are rituals. You use a time management system, a calendar, or you don't use one. Both are rituals. And if you set right rituals, things will change for you. You know, those rituals that you have may be defeating you in the areas that you want to win in. You might have rituals that you're completing every day, every paycheck, every time you shop, every time you cook, every time you choose a restaurant, every time you go out with a friend, every time you choose ritualistically to do something that are actually defeating you and pulling against you reaching your vision. And those are the ones that are really damaging. So you can be doing things that are counterproductive to who you keep saying you want to be. So you're actually contradicting yourself all the time when you say, I want to be a positive person, yet you keep going out with negative people. You're defeating yourself. And we're going to talk a little bit about friends later on. Your financial habits may be keeping you from vacation, from having a good car, from early retirement. Your eating habits, same thing, keeping you from your goals of weight and being healthy. You know, we found into the school year that about 2 weeks into it, we were rushing, getting Victoria up, getting her to the bus stop, things like that. She was always anxious, wanting to get to the bus stop, and One Monday evening, the second or third week of school, I set her down and said, just write a schedule. So we wrote a schedule. Her alarm goes off at 6:50. She has to be downstairs at 7:10, eating her breakfast at 7:10, either bringing her clothes with her or coming down changed. At 7:20, she's doing this. At 7:40, she's getting prayed for. At 7:40-something, she's going down to the bus stop. And in one day, everything switched for her. Wow. Because of ritual. It's taped to the refrigerator. She helped with it. Now, if she doesn't fulfill her morning ritual, or if we don't fulfill it, or her evening ritual. So if she doesn't get her evening ritual, like tonight will be a tough night for her, because 8:30 she goes to bed, she's ready to go to bed. But this is her ritual. Not always a bath, but a bath. Some TV, 20 minutes is enough for her. Leave It to Beaver. One Leave It to Beaver is 22 minutes. She's been loving that because he's in second grade right now. She likes to read some in bed. She likes to get a snack. It doesn't matter if she eats at 7. She wants a snack at 8. It's the funniest little thing. And she likes to talk to her mom before she goes to bed and increase your praise with her. So those rituals are good for and healthy for her. If she doesn't have that, it changes her mourning. If she doesn't have the mourning, it changes her walk to the bus stop. She actually gets agitated if she's not at the bus, going to the bus stop at this time, at 7:43. And we're the same way, aren't we? But what we mostly do, we have rituals that are forced upon us. I have to go to work. And they're not aimed at vision. So if we can set some rituals that are aimed at our vision, not just I have to get the kids ready or I have to get food or I have to get to work, but vision that we want to produce, the things that we want to produce. Research shows over and over that the habit of ending your day and beginning your day is really important. There's actually business workshops you can go to that create morning and evening rituals for you. The 15 minutes of cleaning off your desk and getting ready for the next day. There's all sorts of things you can do that are really healthy for you. It's true for eight-year-olds, and it's true for us. One thing I found that helped me go to the gym more regularly is if I'm going to be out all day, I pack my gym bag. And I take in $2 or so I can always get some water when I'm doing it. And that upped my exercise like crazy, carrying my gym bag with me. And I didn't put it in the back seat or in the boot. I put it right next to me on the floor so I'd see it. So if I got done early or somebody canceled or something happened, I could stop and go to the gym. So just doing things like that, packing your lunch the night before, reading something inspirational instead of reading the news in the morning, all those things can really help you. This third one, so we have write and replay vision and goals, create rituals, get a one-track mindset. I want you to imagine this. I know you're all good people, but I want you to imagine getting up every morning, lighting a joint, and smoking pot all day. Okay, just imagine that for a moment. Some of you are like, I'm more relaxed already. Think about that. So you're driving, you're working, you're cleaning house, you're getting your chores done, you're taking care of your kids or your parents, and you're being a good citizen. Imagine doing that all day. Research has shown that multitasking throughout the day inhibits your ability to think, inhibits your ability to do as much as smoking pot does. That multitasking is a really, really big myth. That it doesn't work, that actually only 2% of the people in the world have any ability to multitask. When you multitask, you're not being successful at any one thing. What you're doing is you're feeling like I'm getting a lot done right now, but at the end of your day, you've mashed everything up together, and you feel like it's all one big tangled mess. Since you didn't do it all, that you didn't have any wins that day. And that's an awful feeling to get done with your day and not have any wins. By win, I mean like you didn't accomplish what you set out to accomplish. So if you could learn how to focus on one thing at a time, stop multitasking. And it could be as easy, like I work on the computer. The last 5 weeks I've worked a lot on the computer, writing some more speaker notes and developing this and doing some different things. And so it's really distracting because your email pops up, your texting pops up, your Facebook, all things pop up. So you take all of that off. You begin to take all of that off. You say, for this 2 hours, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to turn my phone off. But there's things you do in your life in that way will really, really be helpful. And you know what? You might be a one-track mind person. You might already know that. So that might not even apply to you. But if you think you can get everything done like all at once, all at different times throughout your day, you're wrong. You can't, unless you're part of that 2%. But I wouldn't bet on it. But if that's not you, that's a really important one that really might help you. So it's write and replay vision and goals, create rituals, get a one-track mindset, and declutter mind and matter. Most of us, not all of us, most of us need external order before we have internal order. We just have that. And people think often that they don't need external order, but over time they're proven wrong over and over and over again. That external order actually helps us with our creativity. Zeke is going to speak on resistance. And this is the book, it's Stephen Pressfield, War of Art, Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles. And I love that he talks about art as anything you want to produce. You want to be a kinder person, that's your art. You want to be more engaged friend or parent, that's your art. You want to do something, he talks about how resistance comes against you. In this book, he talks about a little bit, I don't know if it's this one or his other one, called Do the Work, which is a really good book also. He talks about how that most of us think that to be an artist and be creative and to live a really exciting life, that we have to have clutter because that brings some sort of creativity. He said that's a huge myth. That's a lie. that there's no such thing. You don't have to be a tortured artist. You don't have to be a tortured soul. I know when Robin Williams passed away and he committed suicide, they talked about the tortured soul of the artist. But there's no research that shows that artists, that comedians, that people that create art are any unhappier than anybody else or struggle in any other way. And he talks about how addiction is one of the most boring things you can ever engage in. Addiction to TV, addiction to self, or addiction to drugs, because you're repeating the same behavior over and over and over again. And so if you can declutter your life, I mean declutter your, some people have 4 and 5 video services in their house. Declutter that to go down to 1. Magazine subscriptions, throw out all the old issues, limit it to a couple. Declutter your email box. Declutter your house, your closet. Declutter. I was talking to a guy this last week. They hired a declutter coach. I forget the actual name, but she came in and she helped them design their house so that their kids would all fit well. And he said for about 3 or 4 weeks, every Saturday they've taken load after load after load to Goodwill. And it's all stuff they don't need, they didn't have, and it feels better and better and better. So if you think about that in your life, in your mind, in your pantry, throwing out everything, think about this. There's things in your pantry that were manufactured and sold simply to destroy your vision for your weight loss and your health. Yeah, we still buy them. So if we can go and declutter those kinds of things. Did you know when people put their house up for sale, that some people take away 50% of what's in their home? They clean out their pantry by 50%. They clean out their closets by 50%. They take furniture and put it in storage. They take stuff out of their garage because their life is so cluttered that when you look at the house and somebody else's life is in there, you can't see the beauty and the size and the potential of you living there because it's so cluttered. And a lot of times when our life is cluttered, our physical space isn't taken care of, we've not been a good steward of what we have, then what happens is we give up. There's clutter here, there's clutter here, there's nothing I can do. If it's your habit to fill up cabinets and garages and closets and emotions in your mind with stuff that you don't love or not producing life and energy you want, then it's time to declutter it. You can do it with your emotions. You can get help with that. They'll really be helpful. So the last one we're going to talk about is 5 habits everyone should have. It's to set guidelines. Now, I'm a big fan. I don't mean guidelines for work. I'm a big fan of setting what I call arbitrary deadlines, arbitrary boundaries for yourself. Arbitrary boundaries for yourself. Guidelines that you don't have to live by, but you're choosing to live by. I choose a time budget for me because I have a job, I have a family, but I also want to do other things. This right here is one of those other things I want to do. So I have been spending about till about 8 or 9 o'clock most nights doing this. I've spent weekends doing this, and I really like this stuff that I'm doing. I set a first arbitrary guideline to do a little booklet. It's called Positive ID. That was fun. It was exciting. And then this Barks to Blues is actually in the back of your workbook there. I've changed it. It's 21 Days to a Clearer Vision, because From Barks to Blues was a horrible title, we found out, even though it's cool and it has bark and a blues guitar here, and it just didn't quite work out. But if you read the book, it's a parable and then a 21-day journal. But I'm showing you these are arbitrary guidelines. We set a deadline, we set a goal, and we wrote this thing called the Liberty Project. And then, super cool, they brought us back for the Liberty Project 2. And then we just recently just did this here at Northgate, and we renamed the Liberty Project to Real Freedom. Because Liberty Project, Real Freedom, like, actually tells you a little bit more what it's about. And then this, what you have here, is all arbitrary. We're going to do this. We're going to set this time. When it comes November, October, we're going to do this. If you will set some things arbitrary, you can break them. But you set them and you put some proper stress upon yourself to do something. To run a marathon. To run a half marathon. To run a 5K. I run Beachapalooza and I'm a horrible runner. It was a 5K with 12, what do you call them, obstacles. And it only took me to do a 5K, it took me like 42 minutes. Oh, wow. That's a long time. There was really old people and really young people like screaming by me. But man, I thought I've got a plan. I had a watch on. I would run for 2 minutes and walk for a minute. I wouldn't run. I would jog. for 2 minutes. I'd walk for a minute, jog for 2 minutes, walk for a minute. And I did that up until the fire pit and the water slog. And then I just, like, I walked that whole way. I went through, but I did every obstacle. But it's arbitrary. And I worked my time and up to that point. And so these guidelines are these arbitrary things. Time. You might have plenty of money. You might be loaded. But what if you decided, you know what? I really want to do something with my life. So I'm going to, like, arbitrarily not eat out. I'm not going to spend any money for the next 2 weeks. Literally no money. I'm going to say no to anybody that asks me out. I'm going to cook at the house. I'm going to save that money. And I'm going to decide, how do I apply that money towards my vision? I mean, an arbitrary a vision, a deadline. How do I get this class? How do I get this thing that I need? What if you decided maybe you watch too much TV? What if you decided, I'm not going to watch TV till I exercise? I'm not going to watch TV till I exercise. And then when I exercise for 30 minutes, when I take a 30-minute walk, I'm only going to watch 60 minutes of TV. I'm going to cut out this. I'm going to cut out that. And I'm going to read for 60 minutes every day, aim towards something I want to be an expert at. I think it was last week we talked about if you read 3 books on any topic, you'll be an expert compared to 95% of the people in the world. We talk so much with so little to say. And you it could be on foreign policy. It could be on any type of culture, sociology. It could be on goal setting. You know, you've heard Zeke up here talking about resistance. He's read about real estate. He has a book since he's 14. He's read about real estate, and he has took notes in it. So he's only 24, but in 10 years, he's developed like a big knowledge for real estate. And he knows his neighborhood. He knows his area of where he wants to buy. That's amazing, just from reading. He didn't get it from, I mean, he got the reading from his dad, but not the real estate information. So are there any questions up to this point before we continue? As you're thinking about, I want you to remember, you're thinking about what habits should you be forming. What habits should you be forming, okay? All right, so what we're going to do, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back, and Zeke's going to come back with resistance.